FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 264. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
What's up?
And Jack Bruner.
Hey, everybody.
Donald Ferguson will be joining us very shortly. He actually had to step out of the house for an emergency call, and he is on his way back. He called me right before we went live, and he said he'd be about 30 to 40 minutes, so hopefully he'll be able to join on here very shortly. I've got my sound turned on so I can hear him whenever he messages me, so look forward to joining up with Headmaster Don very shortly. Apologize for everybody. A lot of the pre-recorded and old episodes lately. And as you can see, I'm in the new digs. Got everything pretty much set up right now. Not exactly arranged the way I want it, but at least it's in the cases. Nothing got broken in the move. I have been stressing over this for weeks, and I am just ecstatic about that. I got some random stuff still at my old apartment, but nothing really valuable. All the valuable stuff is here now, so I'm sweating less and trying to get everything, you know, get my feng shui in. I spent the morning hanging up a wall mounted TV and yeah, just kind of like that, sort of like that. I like it. It's a little bit different. You know, my view here is different. I'm having to share it with the son-in-law, I guess, as it were. He's got a bed over here, so that's why I have the camera angled this way. That way, you're not looking at the unmade bed over here. But as such, I want to welcome everybody to TFYLP. I see a lot of people joining in. Great to see everybody. Hi, Carrie. Hi, Emmett. Hi, Lotus. Hi, Night Swords. Great to see everybody. Let me kind of shrink this down here a little bit so I can see you guys here a little bit more. All my settings got jacked up while I was in the move.
Jacked up.
Ha 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 ha. Yeah. I see what you did there. But anyway, as always, TFYLP is brought to you by CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with free domestic shipping on orders of $150 or more with CapturePrey.com. And if you're an international purchaser, you can get discounted shipping with orders of $150 or more at CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Also, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs at MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon, as well as on Facebook. It's the easiest way to get a hold of him. You need a part or a whole figure, vintage figures. Mega Messiah can help you and hook you up. He is your plastic crack dealer. Yes. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs at MegaToyFan.com. Also, if you are in the market for a cool t-shirt such as this one that is a Transformers related t-shirt or the one that Megamus is wearing, check out RippedApparel.com, and whenever you go to purchase your order at the end of your shopping session, be sure to enter in the promo code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters, and you will save 10% on your entire order with RippedApparel.com. And as always, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, help us keep up with the server bills and upgrading equipment and all that stuff at patreon.com/TFYLP. All kinds of tiers there for everybody, whatever suits your budget. It helps us out, and we appreciate everybody that continues to help us each and every month. Without you, we couldn't continue to be here. So thank you, everybody. For being a part of our Patreon. Patreon.com/TFYLP.
Something to add to that. One of our Patreons supporters, I am getting ready to send a picture right now to them.
And I think I have something right here.
Oh. I'm sending it right now. And I bet you have something to add to that, don't you?
Possibly. Yeah, we have a really great supporter, and we have gotten something right here for that supporter. And if you can see it on our YouTube channel, and it is right here for... getting in the camera there. It is autographed to you, Carrie. This is an autographed Supreme Class Cheetor. By Headmaster Dawn.
She got the picture. I took a picture of him actually signing it. Yes. Right after he signed it. She has no idea how hard it was to find this piece of crap. I mean, this wonderful toy seal. I guess everyone just took it and, like, I don't know, threw darts at it or something. I mean, how many shows have we... I've been looking for, what, like 4 or 5 shows at least.
Several.
Trying to find this thing.
Several shows.
So, yes, we got it. It will be on its way to you. And you actually have a picture for Nuance, so you know he signed it.
Yes. So that is for our big supporter on our Patreon, Carrie, Transformers new fan. Thank you so much. Still, I'm going to kind of hold on to it for a little bit until I can get some other things that are part of the Patreon package for that, and I'll send it all at once for you. But it's here. We got it for you, and it'll be on its way as soon as everything's together.
So make a spot for it. I mean, it's big.
It's a big package.
It's a big piece of...
make a spot for it. You've met me in person. My head is huge, and this is it next to my head. So, yes, it's big.
Yeah. I told you, it's big.
Yeah, that's what she said.
No.
It's a Supreme class.
Jack, maybe not for you, but, you know, it's okay. It's all good.
All right. Also, TFCon just recently wrapped, TFCon USA. Last week, Jack and I kind of fumbled through the reveals from the third-party panel, and also Headmaster Dawn. Headmaster John. Or should I say, based on
today, Junior?
Yeah, based on
wind it back. Do it again.
Based on the picture that we that popped up over the weekend, an RFC related picture. Should I say Thugmaster Don? Because he looked like he was just standing there all thug like, you know. But Don dropped by and talked a little bit about his experiences last week at TFCon, and sounds like it was a great show. Brett, how was it for you?
Oh, wow. All right. Man, I hope Colin doesn't see this. Okay. Let's rewind this, and I'm going to say what I said. I'm going to say what I said at the beginning, and I'll move forward. So a few months ago, well, actually, when it was first announced that it was going to be in Washington, D.C., which it actually wasn't. It was about 20 minutes outside D.C., but still.
Was it this way or more
north? Say that again?
Was it more this way?
It was more this way.
Okay.
Which is really stupid, because we actually had to go almost all the way into Washington, D.C., and then turn around and come back 15 minutes to the west.
Okay, that makes sense. Not.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Google Maps. So anyway, I said, I don't understand. I mean, what's in Washington D.C.? And pardon me for those of our fans that are in Washington D.C., but I mean, there's nothing but homeless people, and homeless people don't want Transformers. There's a lot of them. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. Because there's also, and it never occurred to me, there's a lot of government workers. Well, there's a lot
of government workers. They do have money.
They do. And they were also born in the 70s and 80s, like myself. And they wanted that nostalgia. So it was a great show. It was actually the best TFCon we've ever had. It was unreal. At the beginning, And anyone that goes to convention would know this. You go and you scour the room and you make your way back. I don't know why, because, you know, Mega Toy Fan always has the lowest prices. But, I mean, that's fine. Whatever. And I encourage people, go look and you'll see. And inevitably they did. And a lot of people went around and they came back. So I'm going to say about 45 minutes, almost an hour after the doors opened, we were slammed. Three deep all the way around, and we bought three tables. So we were pretty large across the back, right as you walked into the right against the wall, and we had most of the wall. And we were slammed, and it was just one after another, because, of course, we had...
You got trained,
you know,
huh?
The prices. I mean, we got slammed. We really, really did.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for... a cosplayer probably wouldn't be a good thing. For a attendee, probably wouldn't be a good thing. But for a dealer, that's what you want. You want to get slammed.
Now, I asked Headmaster Don this, and I saw several pictures. I know Antoine Lewis shared a video, which I reshared on the Facebook group.
Antoine, I met him too.
It looked very, very crowded in that dealer room.
Yeah,
it did. Here, I really believe. Now, I was told later that they pushed away some of the dealers because they only had a limited space. But I really believe they could have extended that. Next to the big ballroom we were in, they had another parlor, which the wall could have been open for. And that was used for panels and showing, like, the movie and stuff like that. And
which really at this point... It was just, at this point, I kind of wonder about the showing of the movie top thing. I know several conventions do that. Now, the one exception was TF Expo out in Wichita a couple years ago. They had rented out the Orpheum Theater, which was an old-time, like circa 1900 theater. And we got to watch Transformers the Movie 1986. In this old-timey theater
on the big screen
with Michael Bell in attendance. And That was really awesome. Now that's different, but just having a panel room set aside with, here's the Transformer movies playing, you know, while the show is going on. I really don't see the use in that. That's all my personal opinion.
I will tell you why it is, because I thought the same way you did. Because the first thing I said was, look, we knocked this wall out, which was right behind us, push us back, and of course I'm, thinking about myself, and I'd have more room for my customers to buy my stuff, just being honest. But truth of the matter is, we could have made the dealer room bigger. They would have sold more, and they didn't think the attendance would be nearly as big as it was. It was huge. But going back to why they played the movie, I had more people who were, and I actually had, and this is why I know they were more towards the, you hate to stereotype people by what they wear as far as like being a government worker, but I had people in suits with their family buying stuff. And you could tell they worked in DC, okay? However you want to say it, government, whatever. They worked in D.C., and they brought their family. And I know I saw a lot of those same people that had the small kids over there watching the movie. Now, think about that. You're talking about a generational gap. You don't want the gap. How do you do that? You have to expose them to the same things we saw. What better way than to show them the movie, how it was for us?
It's like, oh, hey, look, let's go over here and watch the movie. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. This is how I saw it. I saw it on the big screen, and they get the big, they get the whole experience. In a little parlor room up on the view screen and everything. Maybe not so much, but definitely better than you would at a watching it on TV. So, I'm a fan of that. You got to get rid of that gap. And how you do that is, like I said, you have to have the next generation experience as close as possible to what you did, what you saw. And I liked it. So, yes, I think they should keep doing that.
So
for that reason.
Was Donald Trump there? Did he try to build a wall around anybody's
I saw no walls.
No walls.
However.
Was it the bestest show ever?
It was huge.
It was huge.
Bestest TFCon ever. How's that?
I heard the attendance for this was off the charts.
It was amazing. I really wish I would have taken a picture of the lobby bar, because you came in from the front and they had this big area where you could sit. Off to the left was a sitting area. Off to the right was a sitting area. And back to the left was the lobby bar. This was the first floor. When you walked into this sitting area, all the way around were steps going up to the second floor, which overlooked the first floor, of course. And right there was the entrance to the dealer room. The line to get in started there, and I'm sure Don said this because he was there. It wrapped around, went downstairs, went into the lobby bar. I mean, it was insane.
Wow.
Because the first thing I said was, this is great. This is a good idea for, this is a good, perfect location. And what I thought they should do is you start the line here, you go around the overlook on the second floor, go down the steps, and that's how I thought they would do it. But I don't think they even thought they would have as many people as they did. So they just had it go right up the steps, around the corner, into the dealer room. And it was packed. It was literally packed. The picture I sent Carrie, and it's no secret. One of the nice things about being a dealer is you can scour the room ahead of time. Sorry, but we do that. And I was actually on a hunting spree for the Supreme Cheetor. And I found one. And I immediately bought it. And I grabbed my marker and I ran outside because I knew Don was waiting in line. And I ran down there and I hit him, sign it right there, and I took a picture of him in line, and that's what I sent Carrie. It's actually right after he signed it, he held it up smiling, I took the picture.
How did you get Don to smile during I mean, this is a toy that Don hates the most in all of Transformers.
Got him the smile.
I think it was because it was finally the chase was over type smile. But you'll have to ask him when he comes on later. But it was, I literally, especially, I mean, Daron, you know that Mega Toy Fan is actually part owner by me and part owner by my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back holding this thing, smiling, he looked at me like,
"Why?
Why? Yeah, exactly." Because he's like,
"It's like, do you know how damn hard it is to get a hold of one of these?"
Right. He was like, he knows these machines, no money. There's no, except for a few pieces. There's no money there, and he knew that. He was just like, "What?" And I went, "Never mind. Give me a marker. Give me a Sharpie. I'm going." And I ran out there. I mean, that's exactly what it was. I did get a few looks from a couple people, a couple vendors when I bought it. I actually bought it. I think the guy was a local that had it, and it was funny because I grabbed it. I was like, "I got to get this," and he's like, "Okay." He sold it to me, and I ran down, and everyone's looking at me like,
"It's like you had found the holy grail."
Exactly. Everybody's like, "You have no idea how happy I was to find this thing." I was just like, "Yes!" And I ran out there, and I went, "Done!" And I showed it to him. And he went, grabbed the Sharpie. He knew right away. Signed it. I said, "I gotta get a picture." Got a picture. I ran back in, ran right up to Orson. And I went, "Here you go. Give this to Dora." There. Walked back, and I'm like, "I'm done. All this searching, I'm done."
Well, you know what though? If somebody else does that level of Patreon, we're going to have to find another.
I was going to say the same.
Yeah, how long it took me to find this? Again. Oh my god! Maybe we better change the character.
We might. I can do that.
But honestly, I had a few good stories. A couple of them. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to share or not.
Go ahead. We're just hodgepodge tonight, so.
I hate to say it, but Carrie, your story was number 3.
And it was a great one too.
It was good. God, I really hate to do this. Okay, so the first was is if anyone anyone that goes to BotCon, that went to BotCon, knows of a little boy that was in a wheelchair named Jesse. We did a fundraiser for him. His mother lives not too close from D.C. So the first part of my show was helping her sell some of Jesse's stuff so she could pay for the funeral. And that's what I did. And I sold a lot of that stuff for her and God bless her and everything she's going through. That's going to be my first and foremost thought of that show. I'm sorry, but that just is, it really resonates with me. It was a great time. give me a minute to think about it.
I have a related informational thing, but I'll let you finish your stories.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean it's not related to Jesse, but I mean it's similar. So,
well, with that show, that was the big thing. I wanted to help her out, and she contacted me afterwards saying she was going to be there, and I'm like, okay. And then the day before the show opened on a Friday, she said, I brought some stuff of Jesse's. I didn't know if you'd be interested in it. I went up there and it was a lot of, you know, we're talking Diactylus, Road Fire. I mean, you're talking like all the good.
Wow. Japanese, yeah.
You know, Raiden, Diaclone, all this. And she says, do you want to buy this? And I went, no, I don't. I said, but what I will do is I'll sell it for you. Because I don't want to make money off this. I don't.
No.
I said, I want to help you out. She's like, okay. So I took the stuff down there and immediately, I've been around a little bit. So I know that when you walk into the dealer room, you don't hide the good stuff while everyone's waiting in line.
You put it out for everybody to see.
You kind of flaunt it. Mm-hmm. Which I did. And sure enough, before the dealer room even opened, I had sold the Raiden for her. And then sold subsequently a bunch of other stuff for her. So that helped her with the funeral costs. Also, there was a TFW member that had passed away a few years ago, and his collection, I'm not going to say who it was, but his collection was dissected by several people and sold off, and unbeknownst to his girlfriend. So I happened to acquire a bunch of books and stuff. Well, inside this big thing of books, which there were some nice, you know, comic books, this and another, were journals from him. So I found out that she was going to be there, and I made plans for her to get her journals back to her, his journals to her. So those were the two big things. You know, it's funny, they talk about the dealers and how they always talk about the almighty dollar, this, that, and the other. It's not always about that. Sometimes it's about helping the fandom.
Well, we are a community, and you know, for better or for worse, you know, it's good to look out for one another in times of need, especially whenever we lose a fellow collector, and everything. One of the things that today we had our monthly meetup here in Louisville. And Orson and I were actually talking about next month. The time and place is not set in stone because we haven't gotten a place yet. But we are looking at the next Midwest Transformers meetup to be held in eastern Indianapolis. And it will be October 4th is the date we're looking at. Don't know the time or place just yet, as I said. But October 4th is a few days after the one-year anniversary of us losing our very own Chad Williams. Chad passed away of cancer a year ago Halloween. And we're wanting to do this next meetup in honor of Chad. So if you are going to be in the Indianapolis area around the 4th of next month, we're looking to have a little get-together, Transformers get-together, with actually as many people as possible. So Brett, if you want to be able to plan on being there, that would be great. You know, we're going to have toys to sell, trade, play games, eat pizza. And if you want to be able to donate anything to... the memory of Chad, and also Brett, if you can come, bring any exclusives from SlagaCon that you have. I'm going to bring. I've got a Vector Zeta, and I have a Breakneck, and I have a Creo that Chad made with his own hands, and we want to display those in honor of Chad. And we're going to invite Chad's kids and his wife to be there. Basically a little mini SlagaCon, but I know there's something else kind of planned down the road. But right now, it'd be a good way to memorialize Chad Williams, our lost fellow collector and member of this very own podcast. Chad was so instrumental for so long in helping get topics together, acquire guests. He is sorely missed, and he was one of my dearest and best friends.
Did you mean November instead of October?
I'm sorry. Yeah, it is October. I'm sorry. October now. So November 4th, it'd be on the east side of Indianapolis. But we're currently looking into places. Just kind of set your calendars. And if you can make it, that would be great. The more, the merrier. You know, like I said, we're wanting to have like food and drinks and of course toys there, and we may play some Cards Against Humanity or something other. Just have lots of fun, anybody in that's within a reasonable drive, we invite everybody to be able to be there. So just stay tuned to the TFYLP Facebook group, and we'll share more information on that, as well as the Midwest Transformers Collectors group. Going to be posting in that as well. Jack, you know, we haven't heard a lot from you. You have any? Yes, your silence there needs to be broken. Any Transformer related stories you want to talk to us about?
That's a good question. Can't really think of any. So, I haven't been around, you know, much because of my current financial situation, but pretty much the main convention I want to try to get to next year would be DairyCon. I believe that was Fond du Lac, since I'm not that far away. So, because I actually was going to go, I think it was last year, but something came up and I couldn't. So hopefully this
DairyCon always has some of the best exclusives. I mean, they're usually customs of existing toys. Like last year was Buffer and Gripes, which were Reed Echoes of G1 Huffer and Pipes, with a turtle, Ninja Turtle type motif. But always great stuff.
That was one of the main things I wanted to go down there for, was the exclusives, because they're so unique. You know, that sets them pretty much apart from others. But yeah, then hopefully for TFCon USA, wherever it may be next year, I hope to get out. But like I said, I don't know
where it's at. I don't have anything concrete, but I've heard that it's possible Chicago again. But yeah, DairyCon exclusive. Here is, I believe this is Gripes. If you can see the picture there, let me turn it. Well, right up.
But yeah, when you said you were kind of here in Chicago, I was kind of thinking the same thing, because they had, you know, the 2-year pattern. You know, 2014 was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. That was the one I went to, the first one. Then last year, it was in Chicago, and I kind of thinking there was going to do a pattern. And
if I weren't in the middle of a move and you know, financial situation, I probably would have went this year to TFCon. But as such, you know, I've been preparing for this move for about a month now, and like I said, stressing over it and executing it, and still kind of in the middle of it, more toward the end. You know, like I said, I've got just a few bits and pieces back there and then clean it up. You know, I have till the 31st to get out of there. So, mm-hmm. Although I've actually been here for about a week now. You know, you and I, we did our podcast last week. I recorded it from here, and I didn't even have the display cases behind me yet.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, I know I'll move you. But yeah, now that my medical stuff is actually done, we really don't have to worry about buzzing back and forth between here and the Twin Cities. So I'm hoping within the next year or so we can have more vacations that doesn't revolve around medical stuff, which has been our main situation for the past 6 years, I think, which I think at least four out of the five trips we take every year was medical. And now that that stuff is finally going down, I'm hoping to actually save my money for conventions rather than the same old thing over in the Twin Cities. So I think the only problem I really have between now and the next convention is getting a better vehicle. And I don't think that'll be actually much trouble. So hoping next year, try to get out more.
Now, what you don't need is a better vehicle. You need a Takara Legends Grand Maximus and Great Shot. That's what you need. That's what you need. This, I mean, come on, Jack. You got to get your priorities straight here, man. Come on.
Well, it may not be a Grand Maximus, but I do have a Fort Maximus on the way, thanks to our fellow podcast member Sergio. So, nah.
So, what do you guys think of the recent reveals of Takara Legends Grand Maximus and Great Shot, Brett? Mr. I hate everything.
I don't hate everything. I'm not into the new stuff. I will say this much. Duh. You have an opportunity to just remold something, or not remold, but repaint it, and a little remolding, and sell it again. Duh.
Plus, there's also a new mold in the Pretender shell that goes over the little Titan Master.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's I like that.
Well, I thought Great Shot was different too. Isn't the head different?
Like it looks like there's considerable remolding on it. It looks like the robot head, and it comes with a rhino head instead of a wolf head. So one of the alt modes is completely different, for that purpose.
I think it was. I didn't really get a good look. I just got because I got the two photos from you, and I knew I saw. I just wasn't sure if I was going to get them because stuff. So, but yeah, it kind of threw me by surprise, especially Grotesque, because, you know, it came out of the blue and it's just like,
I lucked out.
I want these, but I don't have the money.
I lucked out with the Grotesque. I had literally just gotten out of bed. And see, usually these exclusives like that, I miss out on them because I'm either asleep or broke. Whenever they drop, and I always miss out on like the Hasbro Toy Shop or SDCC exclusives or what have you. Well, I had just happened to wake up and get out of bed, and I was looking on my phone, and listener Jason Rye, I want to give you a shout out. Thank you for posting in the TFYLP Facebook group. Another great reason to be a part of our Facebook group is you can get heads up on stuff like this. And he posted that. The New York Comic Con exclusive Grotesque is live now on the Hasbro Toy Shop store. I'm like, what? What is this? At first, I was thinking Grotesque. I'm like, is this something new that they just announced? And then I went, and at first it didn't dawn on me that it was a totally new figure, a full deluxe. And then I got to looking, and I'm like, this is live now. I can buy it now. It's like $24.96, and I went to PayPal to make sure I had enough money, and I did. And I went bye, and I got one. So I feel really lucky that I actually got in on that. And having opened it now, it is considerably retooled. I thought it was just going to be like a double cross with a new head. No, it's got considerable retooling done with this toy. About the only thing new is, or I mean different, I'm sorry, about the only thing the same that it has in conjunction with Double Cross, or I'm sorry, Twinferno, is that it's got the lower robot legs look like they're the same, the tail, the beast legs, and the wings. Yep. Virtually everything else looks like it's totally new. And I think they really did a great job on it.
Yeah, if I would have got a little more warning on it, it's like, oh, you know, we announced it now and it's going to go live whenever. I'm like, I would have put money away, but seeing how it just dropped like that, I'm like, oh, hello. And yeah, but,
Night Sword saying that, the Legends, Grand Max is requiring 2,000 pre-orders for it to even get made, and 3,000 for the Pretender show. That's the first I've actually heard that too.
Yeah.
I don't know about the numbers, but I did hear that they were talking about pre-orders first. They had so many, they needed to make sure they had enough to actually make it. So if you want it,
Reminds me of the Make Toys Galaxy Starscream.
Yeah. I think that personally, I think that was all manufactured, but I don't know, but it just seemed kind of manufactured to me. But it worked, and they're out now, so
Now they're going to continue the Galaxy Force series with Megatron and Optimus, which I freaking fanboyed out of. Because I really want a new Prime.
But, yeah, the Grotusk is really well done. Did either of you were able to pick one of those up? Brett, don't care. This is his indignified face. It's not G1.
Exactly. Could I have? Yes. Did I? No.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just not feeling it. I still feel it.
Well, it's fabulous.
I mean, I look at some of the stuff, like even the, it looks a lot like G1. It's the G1 we wanted when I was in the 80s, and I looked at this and went, I wish I had more articulation. I wish I had the stuff. It's there. But now I don't want that. I just want the G1. So, I mean, full circle or, you know, half circle, crescent moon, whatever. I did change. So, kudos. It looks good.
Anything
that looks like the G1 but makes it better.
In all fairness, a lot of people were on in the same boat as you, Brett. Especially with Combiner Wars, you know, they're like, it's okay, but it's not G1. You know, a lot of people were like, you know, they don't want it. It's not what I've always wanted. You know, all that stuff. And then, as time goes on, and more of these great figures are being shown, and a lot of people
they're like,
now early waves of Combiner Wars are selling for hotcakes. You know,
especially the Generations Metroplex, for example.
Yeah,
that thing is like you can't find a new one in the box for less than $250.
Well. Coming from someone that does nothing but G1, okay, I can tell you when the Headmasters came out, and I saw like Brainstorm, Highbrow, and I was like, "Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good." I saw Chrome Dome. Now, I was really impressed with Chrome Dome. I really was. And then Trypticon, and I'm like, "This looks pretty damn good." And then all of a sudden, the Monster Butts came out, and I'm like, God bless it. These are really good. They are. Don't get me wrong. They are.
No, I mean there are some misses. There are some misses in the line. I have to admit.
Well, I really wish they would just freaking man up, put a couple more cents in this crap, and quit making them hollow. That's the only thing. I swear to you. You look at it, and you know it looks good this way. You turn it around. If they would just do that, I think these things would be perfect. But they won't do that.
From what I can tell, Power of the Primes is actually getting less hollow, or at least less visibly hollow.
Yeah.
From what we've seen at the New York Comic Con, and I want to talk about the New York Comic Con reveals a little bit later. Oh my God, the Terracons. I'm just so giddy over those. But Lotus Stark actually mentioned something here that I think we would be remiss without mentioning is Encore is not dead, guys. And you know how convenient. I believe somebody just logged on, so let me add him in because he's going to want to be a part of this.
I think I know who it is.
That's good because I just got dog licked. So,
I'm all right. That sounds kinky.
Look, what you and your girlfriend do in your own time is your own business. This was actually a dog. All right. I mean, just letting you know. Everyone saw it. I don't want to hear it.
Is that anything like being attacked by Massey?
Speaking of dogs, here's a cat. Hey, Don, how you doing?
He's still getting set up. Oh, ooh. He's got a masterpiece movie, Bumblebee.
Nice.
Well, are we live yet?
Yes, are live.
No, we're not live. You can say whatever you want. Go around in your underwear. It doesn't matter. We're
Don, I'm so glad you didn't log on without your shirt on.
Live from the middle of nowhere. It,
it's look at my tits.
Right now he's going, damn it. God bless him.
A friend of mine, unfortunately, her battery went dead in the middle of nowhere, and I was the only person she knows that could get to her with some jumper cable. So I had to go give her car a jump start so she could get to the nearest AutoZone and get a battery.
Don, our savior.
And I was literally out in BFE. And if you don't know what BFE stands for,
look it up on Google. Yeah.
There's a picture of Don's house.
Yeah. So, pretty much not.
Whatever you do, don't Google the term blue waffle. Please don't do that. No. not safe for work.
I am writing that down for later.
Oh, God.
I will.
I was close to a Toys R Us that I usually don't go to. Literally, she was way, way out away from the. But like I said, so I picked it up. They're $79.99. I had a $20 rewards coupon that was expiring in like a week. So I figured $59 for Movie Bumblebee. I can sell all my Bumblebees except for maybe Human Alliance and Murderbee.
All right. So I got to know, as big as the deluxe ones are, even as good as they are, like the Human Alliance, is that one bigger?
Yes.
A little bit. This is the first time I've seen it in stores. I've watched some reviews from PL had a review, Imago had a review, Wotaku had a review as well. It scales pretty much close to Masterpiece Sideswipe and Car Mode.
I'm thinking you need to do an unboxing.
Okay. All right.
Now, your microphone is not turned on, Don. I think you're on a regular mic right now.
You just said Don.
Turned on, Don.
You said Don.
There it is.
Turned on, Don.
It's on, Don.
Don.
Love it.
Don.
There
we go.
How's this?
That's much more good.
Okay, that better?
That's much more good.
Did you hear me now?
Now,
some other things. So are we doing like what we picked up or?
No, we actually were getting.
We just want to hear this.
We actually were getting ready to transition into a topic that you might be interested in speaking on. Lotus Stark mentioned something that we would be remiss if we didn't mention on the show today, and that would be the recently announced Encore is Not Dead Godfire Convoy.
Let's talk about it.
I was expecting that reaction.
Wait a minute.
Let us talk about this.
Don, I do want a little extra, though. We had talked about, before you got here, was TFCon, and one of the highlights of the show for me was bringing out a certain package to you to have you sign. And, of course, I went ahead and sent Carrie the picture and all this and the other. But I would like to know your reactions. I mean, your honest reactions when I walked out to you in line holding that thing. That's what I want to know.
It's like, where's my cross? Where's my garlic? Why is there not a running river in front of me? Keep that toy of the undead away from
Don
me.
Don sees and goes.
But when I walked up there, you knew exactly why. And you, all you said was, "Is give me the pin." I mean, it was one of those moments.
Yeah. It should have been on video. It should have been on video.
I went out and did it real quick because the dealer room was getting ready to open, and I just had enough forethought to take a picture of it.
Yeah, and Duran, trust me, there was a line.
That's what I was telling you.
Yeah, that's what Brett was saying.
It wasn't a line. It was
a line. Look at it this way. It's good exposure for TFYLP. You know, Don.
Why is that man
autographing a Supreme Class Cheetor? You know.
Well, the best part was that he autographed a toy from a guy that also just not much earlier ran through there with a Diactylus, a Raiden. And because I made sure everyone in line saw it, of course. Showmanship, sorry. So, yes, we're all about promoting.
So, Don, tell us about the Godfire Convoy. and your joy that you have.
And the upsetting that you have, the same as me, with it not being clear plastic.
Okay, well, okay, the clear plastic thing is, and I apologize, the answering machine's going off in the back.
So you're echoing a little bit, though.
Hang on a second.
Night Swords just posted a comment. It is confirmed that both the Fire Convoy and God and Agnes are getting updated sound effects with the show's original actors.
Nice. I would imagine that would be the Japanese actors, though.
It is, but, I mean, I'll wait till Don's done. I have my little aggravation on
this. I know this is, like, one of Don's, like, favorite figures of all time, so.
I like it, too. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a non-G1 toy that I actually like.
So.
Yeah. Outside of, and anytime you have a discussion of favorite, as far as Optimus goes, like I've said in the past, you need to take Masterpiece out of the equation, because MP01, as dated as it is now, was such a defining moment. To be fair to the other figures, you really can't count MP01 in this lineup, because it's unfair to other figures by the point in which we realized we can get these super accurately detailed figures. We can do it now. Mm-hmm. So outside of MP01, and I guess you could say the same thing about MP10, with it being such a revisionist of the original figure, Fire Convoy is my favorite prime outside of the two masterpieces. It is my favorite Optimus of all time.
Here's how I look at it. Well, this might set your mind at ease, Don, because I have an MP01. I have an MP10. And I love them both, but I also like the RID Prime. How about it's your favorite Prime that was mass released for everyone? Because in my opinion, the Masterpiece is more towards the collector and not so much for, you know, little Johnny and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
there's different scales.
Right, but I'm just saying, as far as from people that watch this podcast, people that go to the website, whatever, they're going to lump all the Optimuses together to a degree, because you can get used good quality MP01s for a relatively affordable price.
But best so does not. That, there you go again. I'm sorry, but best does not constitute more expensive.
Oh, no. I'm just saying
people that don't have
the figure can get one now without breaking the bank if they don't have the figure as well.
But I also believe that what you're saying is it's a misnomer that they think the most expensive has got to be the best, and it's not always so. You know,
oh, no, it's not.
It can be distribution, whatever. But I agree with you.
I'm just taking it off the table because of the game changing status MP01 represented to what we were getting from that point on.
Sure.
But the Godfire Convoy set, I think, is an absolutely gorgeous set. Even the regular set, not the Sam's Club sets. I'll talk about that in a minute.
Those are awesome.
I actually like the yellow Prime. No.
I love the yellow Prime. The story between Sam's Club got that set as two exclusives. However, each one was done by a division of Hasbro that did not know the other one was doing the other part. So they were doing a set of figures that were always meant to go together, but they didn't know they were being done together.
Right. Right.
So when you have that version of Omega Prime / Godfire Convoy, it is one of the most hideous, eye-bleaching things you've ever seen.
Opinions are like assholes.
But I'll be honest with you, Don. I had always wondered why was such, you know, Prime was so dramatically changed, and Ultra Magnus was just more paint apps.
Yeah,
you know?
or darker paint apps. Yes, and that's the reason because the two divisions did not know, and I asked this not long after the following BotCon, and it wasn't Aaron Archer, but I don't remember who was in charge of
right after he asked if we're getting a Headmaster RC behind you.
Yeah, exactly. it might have been Greg Lombardo that I asked this, but I don't know for sure. But that's the answer I was given, is they went looking back, they found out two different divisions Hasbro was doing two different for the same club. But anyway, this Encore release.
Yes.
The reason I'm disappointed that it's not the Crystal version, I have the Crystal version, but for the price that they're asking, I don't see the value in this set.
The reason you're getting that fire that sword, and that's what a large part of this cost is coming from, the sword. And they had, from what I understand, they seriously had to either repair or make entirely new tooling based off the CAD files from the originals. Because from all I've heard, I know Rick said this. I know I'm pretty sure Aaron Archer said this at one of the BotCons, that the original tooling for Godfire Convoy was beyond repair.
Right.
So it's entirely possible they went back, got the CAD files, and made entirely new tooling for this run.
And I'll be honest, I am if I love these figures, and I'm so glad to see them being reoffered again. Okay, this is not gonna work. Okay.
Oh no, Massey attack.
No, he just, I thought he wanted to be.
Now, Massey, again. Show us your asshole. There you go.
Oh no, thank he
you.
Put his ass in his face. So mean.
So
cats are buttholes. I'm telling you, they do that stuff. Anyway,
but the cost of this set. This is a lot like Masterpiece Sunstreaker. There's a lot of creation costs. Now, for him, it's licensing costs. But again, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes costs built into this set.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the set, though, is what these figures would normally cost versus what you can get them for right now. The value of this set, to me, again, this is to me, is not there. Because you're looking at almost...
Well,
I think it's just the fact that there's a lot of cost going into making this set, but unless the box is really great and the electronics are faboo with all the new voices and all the new stuff, I just can't see paying that. If you want just the mold,
well,
just
those characters. Let's be honest, and I think I'm going to I hate to cut in, Don, but you got.
That's fine.
You got your, if you really, really want these molds and you don't want to spend a lot of money, yeah, you can go out there and get a Vintage, probably sealed, for less than what you're going to get for this mold. But
Brian saw some at TFCon sealed or brand new in the box for $80 a piece.
Yes, but if you want to get that sword, the only way to get that sword until this Encore reissue comes out is to get that Crystal set, and you ain't going to pay less than probably $600 or $700 for yeah. it.
And see, that is why I wish this had been the Crystal set.
Yeah.
Because one, they have made changes in the crystal plastic technology since then. So the figure would be less likely to suffer from what some clear plastic figures do. But that, to me, if they released that Crystal set at that price, it would be an absolute steal.
Well, the original Crystal set would probably plummet in price too.
Well, yeah, but the whole point is right now that thing is so expensive. He's right; it would be such a steal at that price.
Exactly, and that would get something unique out into the fandom with the molds, with the new tooling, and it would be worth the $300.
Hence why I don't understand why they wouldn't do it.
Well, there's also two other factors too. That will make this different from, if you were to go out and buy a Vintage. Number two is that the Encore will not have vacuum metalized chrome. Rather, it will have metallic paint instead of the vac chrome, which some people may enjoy that more. I know there's people out there that absolutely detest chrome on the Transformers for whatever reason. And let's be honest, some of the older chrome does not hold up well, especially Beast Wars. Some of the older Beast Wars stuff just flakes right off. And I know RID stuff, including Omega Prime / Godfire Convoy, is guilty of that too.
Yeah. Two things. One, I'm first going to say shame on you for calling it vintage, but yes, it is.
It's almost 20 years old.
God bless it. God bless it. I got to get in my head that yes, that is vintage. Okay, that's done. Second, the biggest thing about that mold is the deck. God bless it.
Tires. That was my third point.
Tire splits. Mm-hmm. That is horrible.
If you get a vintage one, you're going to run the risk of getting a cracked tire.
Well, yep. And what it wasn't a degradation of the rubber. It's because they decided to not make it one piece, but make it a one straight piece, pull it around and glue it together. So the glue failed.
Yep.
If they had actually made it as a rubber tire, round, it'd be fine. But, yep. You know, Hasbro in infinite wisdom made it as a flat piece and glued it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem with it.
But now you've also got that rubberized plastic that feels like rubber, responds like rubber, looks like rubber on the toys.
More vinyl. It's more vinyl, yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
The tires are totally separate than what you're talking about, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, I think this is going to be, if you don't want to get the crystal set, the vintage crystal set, and you want and you want the definitive version of these toys, this will be the way to go. It's just I don't see the value in this set at almost $300 US before shipping in some cases.
Here's the thing that gets me, okay? Yes, is it worth $300? No, I don't think it is, because you can get a vintage set for less than that, way less than that.
But you have potential problems.
Still, you do. But it doesn't look like we still haven't, you know, for all we know, they're doing the same thing, which means you buy this thing for $300, and 10 years down the road, the tire starts splitting. The chrome starts peeling, whatever. We don't know if they fixed those things. But the other thing that goes to my mind is that you have the great potential for an e-hobby exclusive that would be clear plastic. But if this thing's already $300, could you imagine what an e-hobby would be?
Be worth almost the cost of a vintage one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. And the problem is that they're pushing too close to these vintage prices. That's what I think.
The one thing that might salvage this to a degree, not completely, but if they give us a package that is absolutely just a phenomenally boxed product. Now, again, the box itself is going to vary. I don't collect as much in-box stuff anymore just because if I want to collect what I want, I can't collect everything boxed and everything loose. I tried that with Generations.
You have too much stuff.
Exactly. So I had to say, look, you know, the most recent change I've done is I bought another Cybertron because of anyway.
Why not?
I want one boxed. I want one loose because it's G2 Primus, damn it. But,
you know, at some point you're going to have to blame this on the cat. You're just going to have to. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. If they give us some kind of packaging that is a phenomenal packing, maybe it's some kind of like the BotCon sets that had the flaps or the lid, or it was a recreation of, because I had,
well, you know, the Japanese one will be easily resealable. They almost always are.
Yeah. And I mean, and the Godfire crystal box is gorgeous, but it's also kind of blah by today's standards. And if you're doing an exclusive that, I mean, a really nice display box will not totally make up for the price.
Well,
but it could definitely help in some degree.
Look at Lucky Draws. What do Lucky Draws come in?
My dresser.
The plainest box you can get.
Oh, not those Lucky Draws.
Lucky Draws.
Well, actually,
my Lucky Draws.
Anyway, Brett, one thing. I have Blackfire Convoy, Darkfire Convoy.
Okay.
That came in a regular Convoy box.
Right, but most of them came in either white Miller boxes or just really, how do I say it, broken down plain Jane boxes.
Well, almost like if you order, say, let's say the BB-7 Yes Model Seekers, or you order some stuff from Weijing, not a lot from Weijing, mostly the BB-7 Yes Model. When you get just a plain cardboard box with the lettering on the side with no decoration, because printing costs have recently really increased in China. So that's why you get these plain Jane boxes now with a lot of like the BB7 stuff.
But you're talking about the most expensive of the elite comes in the least desirable looking boxes.
Right. Well, you know, we talked this on RFC, that gold chrome Megatron that's been recently showing up.
Which is showing up again, by the way.
Yeah, but we don't know, is that some knockoff? Is it an actual lucky draw?
I can tell you that based upon the lucky draw group, there's a couple guys that believe that it is actual factual, but they have some reservations also.
Yeah.
Because of the frequency that they're showing up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe they are trying to get a few more out there. It was like, that's why I do not have Black God Magnus. They made 10.
Right.
They made 10 of the matching Magnus that goes with the Darkfire Convoy, which they made about 400, which for a lucky draw is huge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, Brett, do you have a Darkfire Dark God Magnus? Have you seen one before?
No, but he could get one.
Are you asking me to be serious about it? No, I don't have one. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a guy that knows. I mean, Brett knows people who knows people who knows people, and he has never seen one.
Give me one of these. You gotta go. Yeah, you know, or one of these. Yeah.
You got a booger?
Yeah, I got a booger right here. It's right here. Anyway. You're talking about lucky draws that there's a couple with, there's like five. Some of them only have 5, 10, 20, 25. And then all of a sudden, this Megatron comes out and it's almost like clockwork. There's a couple more. It smells funny.
Wasn't the Black Tracks a lot, very.
Don't get me started on that.
Was a show exclusive, right?
You're talking about the reissue Black Tracks, right? Now that one I do have that one.
Okay.
But that was in more mass produced than the actual finished version.
I'm actually talking with Orson right now, Captured Prey. He said pre-orders are not up on Captured Prey just yet for Godfire Convoy. But he's looking to have it somewhere between 265 and 270.
Well, the only thing I can say is that where is it at? Night Sword said that you can get it for 205 on
AmiAmi. Yeah, but you got to consider though that you're going to have to pay shipping for that from Japan. And it's going to be a large box.
Is that a Japanese or?
Yeah,
they're Hobby Link Japan's biggest competitor.
And, okay, gotcha.
And this will be an enormous box because Godfire Convoy.
Talking about shipping. You're also talking about customs. You're also talking about.
You're probably going to pay at least 80 to 85 in shipping.
Right, but because yeah, it's so probably going to. Because of the price, it's going to default to EMS shipping.
So if you get it domestically, you're probably going to pay about the same amount. And, you know, if you get ground shipping, like choose ground shipping. Well, actually, if you get it from Capture Prey, it's free shipping over $150.
Well, also remember that anytime you have problems, if you're in the U.S., and I don't have a problem with it with anyone that's outside the U.S., but if you have problems, who would you rather deal with? Someone in the U.S. or someone outside? It's just easier.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, AmiAmi does have good customer service, from what I understand.
Yeah. I understand that, but they have a cost to ship back to them, just like Orson does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. But as far as the Encore Godfire Convoy goes, it's a great set. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad they're fixing some of the issues. We hope they fix other issues, but the value depends on if you're getting other stuff. The other stuff you're getting beyond just the two figures is worth the extra money. That's and until the packaging is shown for this set,
I'm going to have to go.
I'm still going
through my collection, and I'm going to have to pare down a lot more. Because let's be honest, I want the Legends Grand Max. I want that badly, and I've already got the LG Metroplex on pre-order. I've already got, as you can see, if you can see behind me, I've already got Titan Returns Fort Max. I got G1 Fort Max Encore. I've got Titan Trypticon. I got Titan Devastator. I have Fans Toys Terminus Giganticus on the way, you know, which is gigantic. So where am I going? Like, where would I put this damn thing? You know, you know. So I've got to go through and I've got to really pare down some stuff, even more so than I have. But I wouldn't mind having this, even just for to know that it's got newer rubber tires, won't have the vac metal paint that'll flake off and turn into dandruff in 15 years. And it'll have the sword that you could only get if you bought like this really expensive crystal set.
Yeah. So I think if you're out there and you're watching and you're going to get this set, let us know and let us know why you're getting it. Just so as we get closer to release, we can maybe talk about why some people are getting it. What is me being the Godfire Convoy fan that I am?
You're probably going to get it.
Well, and me not jumping on it right now as soon as the pre-orders went up. I want to know what other people are looking at. Well, what's making you order versus why am I not getting it? And I just want to see what folks say.
Yeah. Heads up, Jason Tate from our Facebook group posted a few minutes ago the last night Deluxe Hot Rod. Or Otrod is up on Walmart.com, $15.47, two-day shipping. It's available now. So if you're in the market for the Last Night Hot Rod, the Deluxe Hot Rod, it is up on Walmart.com right now. So thanks to Jason Tate for sharing that for us.
Now that I think of it, kind of reminds me of the last night. I was at Shopko earlier. Just so people don't buy Transformers at Shopko, I found both Nitro Zeus and Scorn for $35 a pop.
Yeah, I got Scorn.
Do not buy from Shopko. They are horrible at the prices.
Scorn, I've got over here, the Voyager Scorn. I got to say, it's a great figure. I don't regret buying that.
Duran, you were talking about the Legends Grand Max.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the figure because I was so disappointed in Fortress Maximus. That toy let me down so much that I don't want any more of that. I mean, I may change my mind if I see a good deal on it or I can Dynamics one down.
Mm-hmm.
But the toy as it is by itself was such a letdown. I do not want another one, even if it is a Grand Max version. I do kind of want Great Shot, but again, I have the Terminus Hexatron from Mastermind, so I really don't want a third of that six shot mold, even with the remolding and the recolors, which is something maybe we want to discuss at a later thing. It's how much does it take for you to get a second or a third or a fourth of a mold?
Yeah.
You know, what does it take for you to?
I do want it, but like I said, it's one of those things that I'm really going to have to think about it because I just don't have the space. I'm already stressing over where in the hell am I going to put Terminus Giganticus when it comes in. You know, I was just at the Capture Prey warehouse like 2 hours ago, and I saw the stack of Part A there right now, and. Oh my gosh! I mean, the pallets are like over my head. They're so tall.
I'm picturing Duran with a shopping cart going.
Please don't fall over.
And then getting up to the register and opening up my wallet and going hello.
have the little moth go.
Yeah.
Went out. You know, I have watched several reviews for Terminus Giganticus, and they do say that he is a bit top-heavy and that certain poses will be difficult to pull off. Right. But when you've got that much plastic and that much metal, I think that's kind of – it's going to have to be kind of a given that he's not going to be a figure art with 36 points of articulation. Yeah, you yeah. really can't expect one versus the other.
Well, do the Pat Lee squatting to take a dump pose, yeah.
He is going to be a, you position him, get him set, and lead him figure.
Right.
And we have a lot of this. I mean, yeah. But let's think about it. Think about your, you know, everyone here has a display room. Don has a display house.
Apartment, still, yeah.
A display room, house, whatever. And, I mean, because there's a lot of guys that, I mean, there's a lot of companies that they make stuff to where in the front, that the three angles looks great. From the back, not so much. So, do you really display your figures from the back? Who does? No one does. They either display them in vehicle mode, all three modes, four modes, seven, whatever, a robot. And that's what the companies play on, is that you display it in robot mode in the front. Mm-hmm. So the hollow points are the back. And if you look at it, even Hasbro has made, like on Jetfire or all this and the other, all the hollow points are in the back. So, you know, I understand that stuff. Now, having said that, comma, I look at these new repaints and I go, what the heck? Why can't you spend a few more pennies and fill that crap in? Make them perfect. Why shouldn't we get a perfect toy that you can look at all the way around? Why?
Well, now, on that subject, you know how third parties have always done kits for figures that need that.
They've done filler kits.
Master Prime was an example.
Well, they did filler kits too. But go ahead.
Right, but I got this from Diecast. He had a spare. This is the Rensora. This is the Y Zhang upscale of the Voyager Megatron movie mold.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yes. Okay, this thing here is bigger than the leader class Megatron. By about several inches. Y Zhang went and did a filler kit for this figure set that's generally free at most places. You just pay shipping that fills in the back where the hollow points are.
Yep.
So the company that made, well, they didn't make this. They did an upscale of it. But they went back and they did that very thing. But it's all stuff. Now, some of the stuff does show up in the jet mode. But there is some things that are only there for robot mode that fill in a few hollow parts. And they went back and did that. And this is a company that does upscales and some KOs, but of very high quality. And they went back and did that. So it makes you wonder, like you said, why can't we get a little more solid figures? But again, it's all based on budget.
Well,
Y Zhang's not trying to put a case of eight figures at a certain price point to sell to retailers.
And I think Hasbro is actually doing, I mean, I think they're doing better. I'm not saying that Power of the Primes is not going to have any hollowness whatsoever by any means. Yeah. I'm not saying that, but I think they've listened to us and said, oh my God, I'm tired of the hollow stuff that is so openly visible from the front or from the side. You know, maybe I think they're starting to do a little bit more from the back, and try to cover it up a little bit more. But I want to segue into our last little bit of topic here. And I want it to kind of be twofold, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. Let's talk about, and the reason I don't want to spend a whole lot of time is it's by this point, somewhat old news, but Power of the Primes, New York Comic Con reveals, you know, we're getting the Dinobots, which are actually a combiner team now, officially, and the Terracons. And now some of the other figures that we've seen, we've also got a hint at Titan Predaking, with, mm-hmm. With the view of a wing from TF, or from, New York Comic Con. I want to talk a little bit about our knee-jerk reactions and our thoughts on the initial, CAD renderings and the toys that were on display in New York Comic Con. And a listener actually mentioned in our Facebook group something that I want to touch on. We've touched on it before on the podcast, but I want to actually talk about it again a little bit since it's becoming relevant again, is the ever-increasing price of the toys at retail. From all intents and purposes, it looks like Power of the Prime suggested, manufacturer suggested retail price for a deluxe is going to be about $20. Now, bear in mind, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was not uncommon to find deluxes every day at Walmart for $9.99. Mm-hmm. Those days are long gone. And we've actually said the reasons why on here, you know, inflation, it costs more to make these toys. But doggone it, is there going to be a point whenever you just got to say that enough is enough? I can't afford these damn things. You know, it's well past the point where, in my opinion, you know, $9.99, $10 deluxes were, on occasion, impulse buys. I was on the fence about a particular character or a particular mold, saw it in store, and like, $10, I'll take a chance on it. Now, since they're in the $15 range and now getting ready to go onto the $20 range, it's a lot harder to make that choice. What do you guys think on that? Don?
Well, Jack, okay.
Still kind of thinking.
Because we kind of discussed this on RFC a little bit. XV had mentioned that the suggested retail price was $20. And I said, maybe places will discount it less than normal. And he said, well, it will happen. Yeah. But if you're still looking at a base retail of $20 across the board, that means that set of Terracons is going to cost you, counting a Voyager Hunger, well over $100. And it's just, I mean, again, I hope that the paint applications and I hope the quality of the figures represent the price, because what we've seen already with the movie line, with deluxes going to 20 and the toys not being a $20 toy, because you've got an increase in price, you're still missing paint applications. You've still got the hollowness of the figure. All you're doing is charging for a box that's similar to your Star Wars Black and your Marvel Legends boxes to give it a premium feel. And you don't have that in the toys. There are some good Voyagers. Yep. But look at Berserker. Look at, you know, the less lack of some paint apps on Barricade. Those are not $20 deluxes.
No.
Some of them are barely a $15 deluxe at Walmart that never raised the price.
Well, I've got the Berserker here. Let me pull it out.
Yeah, because it kind of reminds me of the Wave 1 Bumblebee that came out for the last night. It was just a cheap repaint.
Look at this thing. I mean, there's hardly any paint on this thing at all. Yeah. I mean, it's a decent toy. I have to admit, there's a good parts count on here. It could be better. It's got good detail, but let's face it. Detail doesn't translate to price. So you can put a lot of detail on a toy and it's still not going to be worth a lot, you know, make it cost more. Parts count and paint applications / stickers is what drives up the price.
And also, as Aaron Archer has said, packaging was 20 to 30% or more of a toy's final price. They've gone to a packaging that is not necessary, does nothing for the figure, hides the figures in some cases because the figures are so low in the box, you can't even see the full figure, yet it's gone up $5 to that premium price point, but it's not reflected in the product. And I don't want the mainline, the non-movie stuff, to fall. If they're going to increase in the price, then I hope the paint apps and the quality of the stickers, because I think all of us will agree, the suckiness of these Hasbro stickers are almost legendary by this point, because they all suck.
Yeah.
And we should not be getting that quality of stickers on a $25 Voyager, $30 Voyager, and the stuff is peeling in the box before it even comes out. Yep. And that is
well, I mean, you look at value for the money at the New York Comic Con exclusive Grotusk, and the paint applications on that thing are insane. I would expect, I mean, it's I'm sorry, Takara Tomy level. It is Takara Tomy level paint applications on that, especially the Titan Master itself.
Yeah, and look at Scorponok. Mm-hmm. That's a Wildman Furman Scorponok. Oh, and he's got paint on him.
Yeah.
But it's, I just want the figures to be worth the money we're spending. I don't want everybody to have to Dononomics their figures just to get them in their collection.
Well, I've
Dononomics is, I mean, I'm being serious. I don't want everybody to have to say, if I'm going to get these figures, I've got to do something, or I'm going to have to eat ramen for a week.
Yeah.
That's what I said about Nitro and Scorn at Shopko. It's, they want $70, well, obviously, because Shopko bumped them up. But still, it's like they want 50, usually 25 bucks a pop, or 70. It's like, well, I kind of got to split, you know, maybe get a half tank of gas for your vehicle. You know, it's like, what do you got to do? And it's
for something,
you know, priced that much, you expect a lot better. But yes, something that barely has any paint apps, and you want something that really, you know, picks out almost everything. I know there was one figure that did that, but I can't think of it. But you just want something like that to make you feel like you pretty much spent your money on something you wanted.
Right. Well worth badly.
Yeah. Well, look at this. I'm going to bring this up like you were talking about, Duran. This is Ramhorn. I got him at TFCon. I got lucky enough and got him from TFCon. Retail price, $6. This guy has enough paint on him. The Titan Master body is unpainted. The face is painted, but the Titan Master body itself isn't, which we all understand. This figure is a fine $5 figure, okay? It has enough paint to get by. As you jump up in price, it should be that you can add a little more paint to a $10 toy, a little more paint to a $15 toy, a little more paint. You should be able to, economies of scale, get a little better decos as you increase in price. But in some cases, we're not getting that. We're still getting Titan Masters on deluxes at 15 with no paint on the entire body. And maybe you might have the eyes picked out, and that's it. And I don't understand if they're charging $20 for movie deluxes now, and they're going to charge that.
Well, I mean, we know that the size of deluxes are seem to be shrinking. I mean, yeah, some deluxes are about the same size as they used to be for like the last 10 or 15 years. But
remember this and the war within Cybertron Prime that was with him?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the mass difference between them?
Oh, yeah.
They were the Prime had twice the plastic that this guy does.
Mm-hmm.
Or say like any deluxe from the Energon or Cybertron figures.
I feel like I'm just getting less bang for my buck for the size, yep, for the money. But at the same time, you know, when else are we going to get an official version of a toy or a character that we want? I mean, like I said earlier, look at those Terracons. They are so true to the G1 Terracons. I mean, you have Blots the Nose Monster, you got the Shark Monster and Ripper Snapper, you got the Bird Monster and Cutthroat, Center Twin, the Yellow Double-Headed Dragon, Hunger, the Gray Double-Headed Dragon, and they are so faithful to their original G1 characteristics in both Robot and Beast Mode. Even the weapons are placement, you know, like the cannons that fit on each side of Ripper Snapper's fin in Beast Mode, they're there, you know, and they did so well with these guys. To me, the desire to have those particular characters in an official form is worth paying the $20 for them. I don't want to pay $20 for them, but to me, it's worth it. But I think
that's where it's going to be hard to pin down a definite answer, because it's going to be based on the, each individual person's, is that character someone important enough to you?
Well, let's face it. If these prices had been applied to, say, Titan Returns, and Top Spin and Twin Twist were $20 a piece, I wouldn't have Top Spin and Twin Twist right now. Mm-hmm. It was a real stretch for me. I mean, granted, they are great. They're probably the best deluxes we've gotten out of Titan Returns, arguably. However, the characters are really pushing it with the $15-$16 price point with me for those particular ones. Had they been $20, I seriously doubt that I would have gotten them. Honestly.
Now, like, for example, Duran, if you had chose not to get them, but then you saw reviews by, say, Diecast or P.O.L. or somebody, and you saw how good the figure was as far as the construction quality and the way it looked and everything, would that possibly have changed your mind once you saw the figure out of the
package? Originally, I would have said no, but... You know, I've actually been thinking of some things. You know, I've made it no secret on here. I don't care for movie designs. I don't care for the movie characters. That being said, Unique Toys Perukil, their version of Lockdown, I must own that toy.
Yep.
It looks phenomenal. I mean, it's
same
got,
with the one Dino figure, yeah. Whoever was making that.
Yeah, but,
that looks amazing. Yeah.
But the Lockdown, it's got the Aventador down pat, and then it's got the robot mode. It's like you can't even tell that robot turns into an Aventador.
Yeah,
and the detail on it. I mean, they showed some side by Unique Toys Dime Chalk via Unique Toys the other day shared on Facebook some side by side screen captures of Perukil and. The Age of Extinction movie, it's like look at and they had Perukil in a similar pose, and you're like, oh my gosh! I mean, the detail that they got. I mean, even right down to the back of the arms with the car tire on the back of the arms.
Yeah, just walking out barely.
It's there, and you know, I'm like, that looks like it's a really good toy. And I want it. And I also love Lambos. I mean, that helps. But you know, I don't care for movie toys, but I want Perukil. And I think it can apply to Titan Returns / Power of the Primes. You know, if it's a toy that gets really good reviews and people are saying, hey, this is a must-buy toy. You can't miss this one. I would be tempted to pick it up, but if it's just a you know, let's say I don't know, let's say they made a new version of Scoop, and it was $20. Scoop's cool and all, but he's not like one of those top tier characters. Like, oh my god, I gotta have one, you know. So I'd probably easily let him pass. Jack, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's just pretty much like what you just said. It's like, if it's a character you really need, like, I forgot what his name was, but he made these hierarchies of both factions, Autobots and Decepticons. It's pretty much every essential G1 character. And I'm pretty much working on that to, like, fill out, and it's, like I said, the essential G1 character you need. And it's like, these other characters... Say, just for craps and giggles, let me think. I'm just trying to see. The Victorian from Combiner Wars. It's like, it's not something I really want. Like, what I really need for, you know, these G1 hierarchies or whatever, you know, the figures you really need. But say some, like, you really need... a Ratchet, and it's like, I really don't want to get the Masterpiece, seeing how it's a little too big and sometimes a little too expensive, depending on what your thing is, and you want the smaller classics. I'd rather pay $20 for a character I need rather than a character I really don't need, say, Victorian. Just let you know, obviously, yeah. That's not $20. Even if a gift set like
basically
that
was $20. Basically an ancillary character that isn't necessary for a character set.
Yes. Or basically, it's a hole you don't need filled with that character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say if you were doing even a G1 Devi and you need each limb, rather, or say even a Scramble City, where it's like you want the main show sets and you don't need somebody that was, say, exclusive to Japan. And it's like, yeah, what's the point of going after something like that? Then you, yeah, I think you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's priorities pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, let's. I think we've kind of diverged too much from where intended to go. I know a listener actually brought this up about a week or two ago on our Facebook group, and I thought we'd touch on it, our thoughts on it. And generally, I'm kind of disenfranchised with it, but. At this point, what else are you going to do? Let's go back to the Power of the Primes reveals. Initial thoughts on them. Brett, I know you had to step away. Any thoughts on the Terracons and the Dinobots?
I had to eat. I was hungry. Sorry, guys.
No, that's fine.
It's fine. I mean, my problem is with all the new stuff, I look at faults. I really do. It's an upgraded G1. A lot of stuff is. And I look at faults that, you know, the hollowness, this, that, and the other. It's just not for me. Is it a better representation of the character? Yes, it is. And 9 times out of 10, is it a better representation? Yes. But it's just not for me. I do, however... would like to talk about some of the stuff that people were... commenting on in the live chat. So if you want to do a round table and come back to me, that's fine. But I would like to talk about some of the live chat stuff.
What, the repairing joints and stuff like that?
I really would. They they moved on to something else that I don't wish to talk about. But before that, they were talking about ball joints. And you talk about, like, the Machine Wars, Beast Wars, First Era ball joints. And... I'll make this really, really quick. They were saying that because they were so loose, they didn't like them. But I would rather have something like that in my Transformer that I know I could fix as opposed to something that may or may not be able to be fixed. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I can kind of agree with that. You know, it's, say with the ball joint, you know, click floor polish or something. Tighten it up.
I got nail simple polish. Fix. Yeah.
Some kind of polish, you know, kind of thickening up, you know.
Now, hinge joints are a little bit harder to fix, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I have that exact same thing. Exact
it's
same
right
thing.
It's right there. Yeah. It's so easy. Cheap. It works. It works.
It's like
there
a
was one figure
dollar,
I had
dollar 50
all
and
I had
that'll
to do
last
was,
you forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one figure I had to do it. And. I couldn't think of it, but all of a sudden, I was like, let me try a thing of floor polish. Did one surface, like one quick swipe around it, and popped it back, or, you know, at least let it dry a little bit, popped it back in. Thing worked perfectly, so, yeah. It's a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, the Titan Returns Skull Cruncher, whenever it came out, mine couldn't even stand out of the package. But I took the hips off at the ball joints, and I think it was the knees. Was it the knees I took off? And I just basically used that nail polish and covered it, did a really thick coat on both, and let it dry for like a day or two, put them together, and he's right as rain now.
So I mean, there's so many different ways to fix loose joints, but and I did try the super glue and this, that, and the other, but to be honest, this right here is so easy, and all it is clear nail polish. It's you can pick it up anywhere. It's so easy. You just, you know, you coat the joint, you wait till it dries, pop it back in. It works. I mean, all you guys know what I'm talking about. It's so easy. So to say that they would rather have a different kind of joint, because, I mean, some of the joints that they make in Transformers, this won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Ball joints, 100% of the time, I guarantee a ball joint, this will work.
And you won't even notice it on there, really.
No.
You won't even notice it on there. Carrie asked...
You're not messing it up. You're just, you know, adding a little bit of friction to it. That's all you're doing.
Carrie asks in the live chat on the YouTube channel, here's another question. What's the best glue for plastic? Her Skywarp came broke in the box. I use super glue.
Here's the problem. And I'm a little biased to Gorilla Glue. I'm not going to go into great detail.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to say monetarily why, but yes, I am. I would avoid Gorilla Glue and go straight towards just the straight super glue.
That's what
Loctite has already been good.
Loctite works.
Well, Loctite's...
The problem with Gorilla Glue is it expands.
Yeah.
And that's not good for these kind of joints.
Well, Loctite is recommended for like model building and everything too.
Yes.
So I would naturally think that it would be good for like Transformers plastic. Although I think actual super glue would hold up to more stress than Loctite.
Well, you know, Lotus Stark said about two-part epoxy. If you're talking about two big parts that you're talking about a lot of friction and a lot of, you know, stress is put on, maybe. But we're talking about little bitty parts, super glue will work. Two-part epoxy would work for the bigger stuff. You know what I mean?
Well,
both are good, depending on situation.
Here's a testament. My original G1 scrapper from my childhood, Constructorcon scrapper, the bucket on the front of the loader broke off whenever I was 13.
I super
glued it on there. 30-plus years later, it is still the same repair is still there. It is right as rain. Has never given out.
You're talking about a minor part, super glue. If you're talking about...
Well, that thing is, though, in Devastator mode, it supports all the way to the combiner. And 30 years.
How about this? How about an arm for Megatron that has the scope attachment to it? If that's broken off. Super glue, maybe. Two-part epoxy, definite. Think about that.
But what I don't understand is...
Or stress.
With Gorilla Glue, it should be perfect for fixing Optimus Primal.
Shut up. That's all I'm going to say. Shut up. That's the biggest thing. And now the funny part is that Gorilla Glue actually has... I'm not a sponsor of it, by the way. They have different types. Some of them do expand to where they foam out and you got to cut that off. This end. There's others that are just like super glue and they work very, very well. But most people, then when they talk about Gorilla Glue, they talk about the stuff that expands.
Now what about like actual modelers glue, like testers? Because I mean, if that stuff's made for plastic, would that work?
It would, but for something that it's being turned and friction and compressed, like joints,
because obviously modelers is just gonna, you know, like models are gonna sit to where transformers are gonna be moving constantly. Right.
So it will work fine for parts that don't move, but when you add the motion to it, it won't
hold. You have different types. I mean, talk about a different a G1 Megatron. Common break is right at the shoulder joint. It's just a little piece of plastic. And if you were to glue that with the scope and everything, the weight, it's a lot of weight. Would I go with Gorilla Glue? No. Would I go with Super Glue? Yes. Something with more adhesive to it, and it would work just fine. The problem is when you go to Gorilla Glue, which will hold two things together great, it expands.
And, it's like a little foam expansion. And if you're doing small parts or something other, sometimes expansion is not good or very noticeable once it dries.
Exactly. Not only would you have the parts to cut out, but it would expand the two parts away from each other. So that would kind of neglect what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think we moved on too fast past the Power of the Primes, and I didn't get Jack's thoughts on the reveals.
I'm still trying to remember.
Terracons and Dinobots.
Yeah, Terracons, obviously. I'm really excited for Dinobots. Meh. I could care less for the Combiner.
That's what I'm hearing from a lot of people, is people want them for the Dinobots and really not for the Combiner.
Yeah, that's pretty much my main
thing. I think that's just a thrown-in gimmick right there, honestly.
Yeah, because honestly, my main Dinobots are going to be the movie, and seeing how it's my Chug collection is a little more, obviously, G1, I kind of want to get something a little more. Obviously, more representative now, of that, and that's pretty much the only reason why I'll get them.
Knowing how Hasbro and / Takara is with their recolors, how many people see them redecoing the Dinobots as Monstructor?
You know, actually, I think they would do the Terracons before they would do.
We're already getting the Terracons.
Now, I mean, redoing the Terracons as the Monster Bot, as far as Monstructor components.
I would think, I could see maybe Takara doing them as the Dino King. Maybe.
That would be nice. You know, that
I mean, kind of give their Dino modes, like the Dino King shell deco, but have them, you know, like their the robot colors, you know, like the chests and stuff, like the gold and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I could see that happening, and I would be game for that.
You know, if they did that, it might be worth because one thing XV also talked about, Duron, when you talk about the price and everything, if with the American prices going up and the quality not being there, with Takara adding the extra paint, adding your Target Masters and your Titan Masters, and doing remolds on, say, their cup versus our cup, for what you're getting dollar for dollar, it might be worth, for some people, going with the Takara version. And like you said, if the Terracons are like $20 a piece U.S., maybe you might want to wait and see if we get a Dino King. Because if they're $29 a piece and they're Dino King representations, that could well be worth the money.
Yeah. I mean, get the Dinobots to display individually as the Dinobots, and then if you want a combiner, get a Dino King, you know, say from Takara Tomy. That's what I'd do. Well, guys, do you have any other thoughts? Any closing ideas that you wanted to mention real quick?
The only thing I'm go ahead, Brett.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say I just hope that if we do see these price increases, we see something other than packaging being added to the figure to get a more value-added product. If it's just a similar trade dress to make it look like other premium products without anything being added to make the figure premium, that is going to cast a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. Because you're paying more and you're getting less, and it's right, and you can visibly see it's not on the figure, it's not on the packaging, it's not on the accessory count, everything's still hollow. We're paying more and we're getting packaging that doesn't do anything except try to fool us into thinking it's a premium product. And I don't want to see it go to that And so many collectors are saying, okay, I can't do this because it's just, if that happens with the Terracons, let's say they're $20 a piece for the four small ones. That's an, versus what saying around 15 now for Titan Masters. You're paying $20, which is the cost of a figure, for packaging, for nothing. No, that's
something
not,
that's ultimately that, thrown away.
I mean, even the best packaging is not worth it. Yeah, it's like it's just. I just want the figures to be worth what we're paying in sculpt, in paint, and accessories. Otherwise, we're losing money and not getting anything out of it. And I don't think that will help the line in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Well, any other thoughts, guys?
Well,
that I can think of.
I was looking at the live chat and they were talking about glue. Just simple glue. Yes, super glue can discolor. And Lotus Stark even said it. Try it on a little bit in a conspicuous spot and see if it discolors it, whatever. But the whole idea is use it sparingly. Use a little bit.
Yeah, don't gop it on does. There. Yeah, don't gop it on there.
You just don't want to pour it all on there and whatever. But these are suggestions. We're talking about imperfections in something that was mass produced. So you're just trying to make the tolerances back to what they should have been. So you're not talking about a lot, you know. And I really, really like, and I'm going to show it again, you know, and this is, I don't know what this is, but it doesn't matter. Clear nail polish, because you can chip this stuff off. Super glue, I don't know if you can. I've never heard of anyone saying that clear nail polish has discolored plastic.
I've never just noticed to do that.
It just adds to it. You know, adds to the tolerance. You chip it off. Works great. So, for, you know, ball joints, even some joints where there's just one direction, one directional ball joints, clear nail polish.
I'm going to point out what Lotus Stark said. Always sniff it first.
I agree. If you sniff this stuff, if it smells bad, don't use it.
Don't taste it.
Don't huff this stuff. All right. Dang it.
Oh yeah.
And whatever you do, don't smoke and huff this stuff.
Otherwise, you huff it, and you'll put this thing together, and you'll go the next morning. Go, what the hell was I thinking?
If you huff it, you'll just sit there and cross your arms and say it'll never work. Big waste of time.
That was good. I will give you.
All right, guys. If you love TFYLP, please share and tell people about our show. Wait a minute.
However, I do want Lotus Stark to let me know what he means by always sniff it first. If he can explain that without embarrassing himself, I'll be impressed.
Scratch, then sniff.
Yeah, but we didn't know that one.
Yeah.
So. Hey, Duran, there's one thing I want to say real quick, yes. If I could. I mentioned this before over in RFC, but I never got a chance to mention it here. For those fans that really like the 86 movie, the animated movie, one of the people that I follow on Twitter and on YouTube is called Movie Bob. He's a professional critic out of Boston. And he has a series called Really That Good, which looks at movies, and he analyzes it to see if it's being talked about this long after its creation, what does this movie have to make it this ongoing thing to not just be forgotten? And if you like a really – and the reason I'm bringing this up is it's a very thoughtful, in-depth critique from someone outside the fandom – on why Transformers the 86 movie has lasted in the pop culture zeitgeist as long as it has. And it's a very deep, it's a very thorough analysis. Thank you.
Analytical.
and oh, that would work too, definitely, of the movie, and he looks at all the parts and says, is it nostalgia or is it really that good? And I invite everybody, even if you don't like the movie, the breakdown and the analysis.
I watched a good portion of that video. It is pretty good.
I'm not saying, as all of us know, Transformers the movie has issues.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, does it have issues?
Oh yeah.
But there is something there, and he breaks it down to see what makes this movie this long-term item in pop culture. So I just want to recommend that for it. It's about 50 minutes long, but it's a really great look at the movie.
I think you shared it in the group, and if so, I think you have to scroll down quite a bit to see it. So check that out. But as I was getting ready to say, though, if you love TFYLP, please share, however you digest this, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes, Google Play, share with other people that you know that are in the fandom. Tell people that you love TFYLP and tell them why you love us. Rate us and subscribe to us if you haven't on the outlets that you consume us on there. And it is very important that you do this. That way it helps people who are looking for a new podcast to find us and decide to listen to us. We try our very hardest in getting out a good quality podcast. I know it's really hard. It's a lot harder than a lot of people realize. We've been doing this almost 8 years now, or at least I have. and Don's on a part of two podcasts, so he can tell you how difficult it is sometimes to get together a good quality podcast. It's more than just sitting down in front of your computer, turning on a camera, and talking about Transformers. That is part of it.
Yeah.
But thinking about what to talk about and everything sometimes can be very difficult. Getting people together all on the same night at the same time is even more difficult.
Believe it or not, most of these people other than me do have lives outside of this podcast.
Yeah.
I have no life. I have a cat.
Booyah!
Yeah, that's why, I mean, we have several people that are actually part of this cast that are on maybe once a month, and it's not because, we don't like them or we don't want them on, or it's not that. They have other things that they're doing, and then they have time that they can step aside and do the podcast, and we're thankful when they're on. Like somebody mentioned earlier about the book thing, I'd love to have Brycey on, and if at all possible, have him talk about it. I'm sure he probably can't talk about it right now, but I'd love to hear his thoughts on this. I mean, I know a lot of work has went into the Ocular Echo Kickstarter campaign, and I'm really, I was a little disappointed, but at the same time, I'm perplexed by what was said. We'll just leave it at that for right now. But going back to my main point of discussion, if you love TFYLP, share us, rate us, subscribe to us, let other people know that you love us. And also, like I said at the top of the show, we have a Patreon, so check it out there, patreon.com/TFYLP. It helps us keep going, whether on a monthly, yearly basis, Transformers new fan, Carrie can attest, there are some perks. There are some perks here, people. Much to Don's chagrin, he had to.
I'm glad I was my printer able here. To finally do. I was glad I was finally able to do it and get that to him. It's just, please, no more Cheetors.
I'm probably going to go on there and change that part.
I had to touch one in the box for the first time in 20 years.
I had to buy it. Listen, Don. That's nothing compared to the fact that I had to give hard-earned currency to buy it for you to sign, and I did.
All right, guys. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Everybody that was in the live chat tonight, great discussions on there, great comments from everyone. Love to see you guys on there. And as always, we'll see you on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Also on Twitter, @TFYLP on there. I don't post a lot on there, but if there's anything TFYLP related, I try to post it on there when it's possible. And it goes straight to my phone, so if you tweet something directly @TFYLP, I'll get it. So you can message TFYLP or tweet us on there. And also check out tftalk.net. That's where everything TFYLP is. Just check that out. Thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everyone.
Bye everybody. Take care.
Have a good night.
See ya.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.